Welcome all veterans and aspiring business warriors. Get ready to charge into the world of entrepreneurship with our dynamic podcast, Vet to Vet. Join us as we bridge the generational gap, bringing you the best of both the Gulf War era and the Afghanistan War era. From the battlefields to the boardrooms, we'll share the frontline strategies, hard-earned wisdom, and insider tips to help you conquer the challenges of business ownership. Stay tuned for some straight talk, occasional humor, and valuable insights to navigate the trenches of entrepreneurship. Welcome to Vet to Vet, where the spirit of service meets the drive to success.
All right, hey guys, I'm Joe. Welcome back to Vet to Vet. We're a podcast about business ownership. This is Tom.
Hey, good to see you guys again. We've got a lot of good topics that we want to touch on, and we're going to go through everything that we can hopefully offer you guys. Number one, entertainment, but also number two, some insight on some experiences that we've been through.
So since even before we had published our full version last time, we actually got a question. So I want to read that because it's a really good one because it kind of ties into what we wanted to talk about today, which was what business ownership is not.
Awesome.
So the question was, hey guys, I was never in the military, and thank you for your service. You're welcome. I currently work in a big box home improvement store. I see contractors all the time come in all the time, and they're all self-employed. They don't answer to anyone, and usually seem pretty happy and easy to get along with. I have been toying with the idea of self-employment. How did you guys decide to start your own business, and what motivated you to take those steps?
First of all, that's a great question. For me, it wasn't just the time spent in the military, but it was also the time spent, you know, when I was doing defense contracting work. And there was always a point where I just felt like there's wasted time or wasted resources or just a better way of doing things, where eventually I just got to the point where I was like, I don't need help making poor choices. I can do that well enough on my own.
Yeah.
You know? And so if they're going to be poor choices, they're going to be my poor choices. You know, I was kind of being a bit sarcastic and facetious to myself because I feel very capable of accomplishing a lot on my own. So regardless of where you come from and what you're going through as far as a career goes, I think that it's mostly important to really check yourself. It can be kind of difficult to find where your niche is or where you think you fit. But yeah. I think the bigger goal is to find out what you're passionate about and where you see yourself fitting in the big picture, you know, not just professionally, but even more so personally. Like, what do you want for yourself?
I got a couple more years of experience in life. So I've actually done, when I got out of the military, I mentioned the first episode, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew that working for somebody wasn't going to be the thing that would get me along. So what I did was I started thinking about, I need to be self-employed. So at one point I wanted to be a consultant. So I went to human resources. I was in human resources for a long time. So I decided I'll be a consultant on leadership because I'm decent at it. I understand people and I was really good in human resources and it never really came to fruition. I did a few consulting jobs, and it just didn't resonate with me. So then later on, I decided I wanted to become a baker. I got really into Home and Garden TV, started watching Cake Boss, and I was like, I can do that. So I made cakes, and I had my own cake business, and I did that for about a year and a half. And I got burnt out really, really quick.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So, but I made some awesome cakes. Later on, you know, I kept toying with these other ideas, woodworking, because I'm really good working with my hands, and that never came through. You know, I made a few items, they sold them on auction. And then I realized everything I was choosing, there was no passion in it.
Right.
So like you said, you have to have a passion. And that's kind of led me to where I'm at now. And pretty much the same story with you.
Yeah.
We can have a passion for what we do. So if you're wanting to start a business, that's where you have to start.
So I can kind of expand on that too. The problem, I think, with a lot of us that come from a military background is that anything that we start to do, we're going to be passionate about it. Meaning that we put our full effort into it. I remember, you know, for a while I built furniture as kind of like a side hustle whenever I was home from deployment. I remember spending a deployment learning everything about how to be a blacksmith. I was going to buy a forge. I was like, I was studying different like steels and alloy types. I was trying to decide if I wanted a gas forge or a charcoal forge. And, you know, and I had never done any of it, but I was just researching and studying everything that I could possibly know or understand about how to do it and do it really, really well. You know, I don't see people sell knives for more than about $50, you know, yeah, so
if you put like 40 hours,
right. And
it.
I'd have to like hammer away at this, you know, fucking piece of steel for God knows how long before I'm like, sweet, here's a knife. But you know, I could never compete with like Benchmade or, you know, any of those guys. So, you know, at least for the veteran types, and we'll touch back on the non-veteran types, but at least for people with a military background, you really have to hone that in, because a lot of us, when we get that mission first mentality, we get something in our mind and we go all in,
yeah,
right away, you know, like, I know you've done that. I know I've done that in some other areas with, you know, that's a really good idea. Let's go balls to the wall. And it isn't always the best route or way to go about things. So you really have to pump the brakes and pace yourself, especially at the beginning, to make sure that if you're going to do it, you do it, yeah, right. And you study to figure out where it's going to fit. Now, for the people that haven't come from the military, you know, I'm a really big fan of of just having a disciplined approach. You write down a checklist of ideas or goals or, you know, different aspects of your life, you know, personal, professional, financial goals. Start with two or three, you know, then you can expand that to five, and then you can expand that to 10. Don't get overwhelmed by all of your personal goals and all of your professional goals and all of your financial goals. But if you just start checking one off the list, that's how you get those, you know, like personal goal, work out today. Okay, well, did you work out today? Sweet, done. Now what's next?
Which helps build your confidence.
Correct. There's a lot of different people that call it, and they call them stackable, stacking the, yeah, wins. It doesn't matter which of those three categories you're talking about. You know, if you want to save $500 a month, that's a financial goal. Well, did you meet that goal? Is it a realistic goal? Maybe you need to save $250 a month, you know, but if you accomplish it, check it off the list. And then, you know, you just have to do things one step at, yeah, a time.
So, you know, that's pretty much how you kind of really choose the, you know, whether you want to be a small business owner or not. It's going to be your level of commitment. But what you have to understand is what small business ownership is not. You know, it's not a 9-to-5 job.
I wish.
At all. You know, and it, you know, you hear all these social media types on there. You know, I can make you rich in 90 days. No, you can't.
Right.
It's not going to happen. That's not how it works. If you're choosing to do small business ownership, I think you have to understand and what you're not going to get out of it. It's not going to be a get-quick-rich scheme.
Right.
You're going to have some patience that's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where that passion comes in. If you don't have the passion for what you're wanting to do, you certainly won't have the patience for it.
I agree. And I think, you know, and that doesn't just apply to business. That also applies to like personal life.
Oh,
you,
yeah,
know, like when you see these marketing scams or these, you know, different supplement companies that advertise like, we'll get you fit in 90 days. You know, like it's all bullshit. You know, like there's no such thing as a get rich quick scheme.
Right.
There's also a no such thing as a get fit quick scheme. You know, usually those things come with like really deleterious effects.
6-minute abs.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, again, it's really easy to jump off that cliff without really taking a step back and analyzing, you know, who you are, what you want. And then if you're going to do it, just do it right. How many business owners do you see that go out of business within the first 5 years?
Right.
You know, there's a huge percentage of it, of them, because most of them are like, I'm the best HVAC technician in my company. I'm the best electrician in my company. And I run circles around everybody, so I don't need you. I'm just going to start my own thing. And then they get out there, and 2 or 3 years in, they're struggling because they suck at running a business because they're, right, just not made for it. Like, you can be a badass technician, but if you don't take the time to really understand how to be a leader, you're probably going to fail.
Yeah, and also, you know, when you're choosing the business you want, you don't have, it doesn't have to be like this crazy innovative idea. It can be something that's just necessary in the market that people are already doing.
Right.
Like for us, you know, with the home inspection, it's not like home inspection's, you know, innovative. There's a whole bunch of home inspectors out there.
Right.
There's like, what, 900 of them right now here in the Valley?
Yeah.
But there's still a spot. And it's the innovation that you bring to it. Small business ownership isn't being an innovator to bring a new product. It's how you take a existing product and make it innovative.
Yeah.
Which is kind of where we're at right now in a new venture that we're going to do.
You know, and I think especially for any of our entrepreneurs out there, if you feel like you're in a position where you do have a unique way of being successful at what you're doing, do you go hire somebody that has 10 years experience, or do you find that, that individual that, you know, 20, 30, 40 year old that's new to the industry that you can groom from scratch?
Yeah.
Because then all, you know, it's like getting a puppy, you know, like do you bring them up in your world the way that you did and from the lessons that you've learned, or do you try to take somebody else that has, you know, could have formed bad habits and try to adapt them to your way of doing business? Because if you get that wrong, it could really, really harm your business too.
Absolutely.
You know, so you have to kind of weigh those pros and cons about what type of individuals are you bringing into your culture.
So, and that goes back to, you know, another point of what small business ownership isn't. It's not a solo gig. You know, people are like, I just want to work for myself. I don't want to work for anybody. And that's fine. You can do that, but you still are going to need somebody. You're still going to need some help. Nobody built a billion-dollar company on just their back.
Right.
So you have to form good partnerships as well. And, you know, the partnership goes beyond just somebody in the business. The partnership also is at your home. You know, if you've got a family, you got to bring them along as well.
Right.
You know, there's nobody does it on their own. Is basically what it is. So, you know, small business ownership's not, you know, you got this family here, you got your business over here, and you're just going to, you know, focus all your time on there because something's going to suffer.
Right.
Either family's going to suffer or your business is going to end up suffering because the family starts to throw fits. You have to find that happy medium. And you also have to find that business partner that, you know, pushes you, questions you, has that good conflict, has the ability to say, that's probably not a good idea.
And I think that's about figuring out like where you specialize. Like I have no desire to focus on financials whatsoever. It is not
interesting. You don't say.
I mean, now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that because I overspend and I go in debt. Like that's not the case at
right.
all. But to sit at a computer and go through all the numbers on a weekly, monthly, quarterly basis, it's just not my cup of tea. We bring in enough revenue that we can outsource that to somebody who
yeah.
specializes it, who likes to sit at their desk and nerd out on all the numbers and balancing worksheets and all of that. There are businesses out there for sure that they're the bookkeeper, they're the receptionist, they're the scheduler, they're the ones that do the work. But you know what happens is usually within 2 or 3 years, they're so freaking burnt out. Yes, possibly if they're successful at it, they brought in a fair chunk of revenue. But if you don't put your focus on specializing in exactly what it is that you're good at, honestly can't compete in the big world, you know, where everybody else is playing Major League Baseball and you're still stuck in the minors because you haven't learned how to outsource specialized tasks to the people that excel at them.
Right.
So you can focus on what you excel at.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to the other thing that a business ownership isn't. It's not that 9-to-5 job. And when you're having to do all of those extra things.
Right, the minutia.
Part of your, you know, the main focus of your job does become a 9-to-5 because now you're having to spend all the rest of the time doing all that other shit. As you like to say, you can't be successful if you're only going to work at it part-time.
Right.
You know, you have to be in it all the time. So if the accounting is not the main focus of the job, yeah, farm that out.
Right.
That goes to somebody else. Now, there is a balance to that. You have
sure.
to be able to bring in enough money to pay that
right.
bookkeeper or accountant. Hire a good bookkeeper.
Yeah.
That's the first step. But yeah, you know, if you don't farm those out, you're working part-time
mm-hmm.
is
yeah.
what you're doing.
I agree. Another thing that it's not for everybody. you know, you get caught up in a lot of these, you know, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok reels that are like, you know, I can make you a millionaire in 1 year.
Leaning up against a Lamborghini, flashing cash.
Yeah, you know, and it's all bullshit. It's there for the lulz. It's there for the comments. It's somebody else trying to scam you out of your money. You have to have a passion for it. You have to want to truly be a leader, because regardless of what industry you're in, if you're doing it right, you should become the authority of whatever it is you're doing in your area. And if that's not your goal or passion, regardless of what you're doing, industry wise, you're going to get run over.
Yeah.
You know, so, and unless you know going into it, like, I just want to make 50 grand a year. I just want my small little piece of the pie. That's, I guess, honorable, but just understand that there's going to be somebody else who's going to come in younger, hungrier, stronger, faster than you.
If you think about it, if that is your goal to just, you know, make a living.
Right.
You will work harder doing that than you will if you just work hard to grow. Because if you're working to just survive, or just pay the bills, somebody's going to continue to keep taking your market share.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they take your market share, you have to work harder to regain that.
Right.
So if you're not always trying to grow and progress, you're going to fail.
Sure.
You're falling behind. You know, and so, yeah, you're right. You have to have that passion. You have to keep moving. If that's not your desire, then small business ownership might not be for you.
And I think that's a very true statement. You know, I want to always put myself in a room with people who are doing better than me. One of the struggles I deal with is, you know, I do some business networking groups, and I've been in one in particular for a pretty short amount of time, and I already am starting to feel like I'm one of the three smartest people in the room. And it gets very difficult for me to want to stay in that room, because I don't want to be one of the top performers in whatever room that I'm in. I want to be the dumbest person in the room, because now I'm getting raised and leveled up, because I want to aspire to be more than what I already am. Have you experienced that? Is that something that you've noticed as being a business owner also?
I mean, that's actually one of the biggest reasons why I became a small business owner, because I've always looked at what's been going on, and I see a better way.
Right.
And yeah, so, you know, going to, you know, some of these meetings and going to some of these conferences, I'm sitting there going, I'm getting nothing out of this. I totally could do this whole thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it becomes frustrating. But then at the same time, you know, I always look at it, you know, let's say that I go to a networking meeting, and yeah, I'm probably one of the more successful there. It's not necessarily, you know, well, I probably could have been in a better meeting. It's who am I going to bring up?
Yeah.
You know, make a connection.
Sure.
Bring somebody up, bring them along.
And so I had the same conversation with somebody yesterday about the same topic. And yes, like I don't have a problem trying to lift people up. What I'm starting to see.
You don't want to lift up a whole room.
Right. And so that's another problem, is that I'm starting to realize that there really are a lot of business owners that they don't want to be lifted up. They're happy with exactly where they are. And for me, I struggle with it, because I just can't understand that. I can't understand how there are people that function in the entrepreneurial space that don't want bigger, better, stronger as a mentality when they're not just running a business, but they have employees. Those employees have families. And, you know, one of my biggest reasons for wanting to go into business, and I know it's the same for you, is being able to create an impact on everyone that comes in and wants to be a part of our culture, because we can really make an impact on people's families and their livelihoods. And, you know, one of the last things in the world that any business owner should want to do is have to fire people, because it doesn't just impact that employee. It has a major downstream effect. Where do you stand on some of these types of ideas and business ownership?
I think the biggest example of what we were just talking about was, remember we went to the that expo? We had that home inspector come up, and he had employees.
Right.
And he said that he wasn't going to go market. He didn't like to go market. He didn't like social media. He didn't like using the pay apps because they're worthless to him. So he used Microsoft Word, and he didn't have that desire.
Right.
When you talk about the firing employees, firing somebody is the death penalty of the corporate world.
Right.
You know, it's the last resort. You have to make sure that you're hiring the, not necessarily the right person, but, you know, a person that's going to be a good fit. You can train skill. You can't train culture. You can't train values. Those kind of have to just exist with that person, and they have to kind of mesh with what you're doing. When you hire somebody, if you get them into a position and they're not quite working out, one, you made a bad hiring decision. It always falls back to the hiring manager. If I hired somebody and I got to fire them, that's my fault.
Right.
Doesn't matter what they did. They could have went and punched somebody in the face. It's my fault. I made a bad hiring decision. I didn't do my due diligence. So, you know, we want to make sure that we're hiring. And I'm not exactly sure how we got onto that subject, but, you know, while we're on it, you know, you want to make sure that you're bringing in somebody that fits culturally, that
right.
fits your values. And if they aren't working out where you put them, where can you put them? Don't make that, you know, the go-to.
Right. And I think that kind of goes into the caught is better than taught.
Yeah.
You know, like the people that you just stumble upon are always going to trump the ones that you have to teach every single
right.
last skill.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's, in a nutshell, that's what business ownership is not. You know, it's not a 9-to-5. It doesn't have to be, you know, a full-on innovation. You know, it's innovative once you have the business started. It's about partnerships. It's about, you know, finding somebody that you can truly work with, not work for
right.
or anything like that. It's, you know, somebody you can work with that questions you, that challenges you.
You can have a really solid business if you're just simply, you're honest, you show up on time, you do exactly what you said you were going to do, and you're transparent with the entire process from start to finish.
Yeah.
You know, it really isn't rocket science, but it building a business is really as simple as the kind of really like the golden rule,
mm-hmm.
you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Right.
You know, and as long as you have like basic values that, and you're not a complete like worthless piece of shit of a human, you know, those people are probably going to pass on a bad product, and you know, the market will just weed them out on
yeah.
their own. But if you're just a real person and you're authentic and you're just, a decent human being and you run a business like you're a decent human being, you're probably going to have a solid business. There are others high performing athletes in the professional sports world that are also in the entrepreneurial space because it's the intangibles that you have in your
yeah.
in your mind that make you want to be a winner. And if you're one of those high performing people, you're probably going to have a better functioning business. You know, you just, like you said, you just have to surround yourself with the right people and the right culture.
Yeah.
And then you really are going to flourish. It's kind of like that saying goes, if you're in a room with 4 millionaires, you're destined to become the fifth.
Right.
And that doesn't necessarily mean
if
like
you're in a room with 4 shitheads, you're going to be the fifth.
Right. Exactly. but you know, and it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to meet 4 millionaires so that way you can become the fifth. You are a product of what you surround yourself
right.
with. So what about those people that listen, you know, to Andy Elliott or Andy Frisella or Patrick Bet-David? You know, like there are a lot of really successful people. If those are the types of people that you resonate with and you are consistently absorbing their information day in and day out, those are the people that you're starting to turn yourself into.
Right.
And if they've been that successful, you know, you're probably going to end up being the same way.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, I think that's pretty much it for today.
Okay. Well,
you got anything else?
No, I mean, see, that's my problem is, you know, once I get in the groove, I can
just go on and
ramble. But yeah, no, guys, I would really, really encourage you, make sure that you're following the Vet to Vet podcast. Okay. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Make sure that you go in, leave a review. leave us a comment. We'll read every single comment that comes out. We'll give you guys some shout outs, any sort of content or questions that you guys might want or ask for. Make sure you go down below in the comment space on any of those platforms. Leave us a comment, leave us a review. Let us know what kind of information you want to hear from us.
And our links to email us are also in our description.
Perfect. Well, until next time.
See you later.